This week's Corped is brought to you by Enclave Empire. Enclave Empire is seeking to expand its reach in the universe, and now they want you to be a part of it. Enclave has a very active mining and production program. They have PvP and PvE fleets always ready to put in work. If you think you have what it takes and feel the need to fly with the best, your time starts now. They are waiting for you. Contact Destroyer number 6930, that is DEA Destroyer, on Discord for more info. Hello everyone, I got an exciting episode for you today. We had the biggest battle in EVE Echoes this last weekend, and I got to talk with three FCs of the Golden Horde Alliance. Welcome to Echoes of New Eden. Well, I want to start off with a couple of things. Last week's episode never happened because the website I upload the podcast to was subject to a DDoS attack. They were ransomed for money, but failed. So everything is now back up and running like normal. Also, I'm a bit late to mention it, but the guest I had on the show a few weeks ago, Alan, had a gifting ceremony where many of his fellow players, as well as me and Damon Sell, had some words to share during that time. He was able to get money that was raised and purchased a tablet to play the game on. Huge upgrade compared to what he was playing on. The audio from that ceremony was on Damon Sell's Echoes from the Front news update number 24 video. So in the past couple weeks, another content creator by the name of Elementary72 has been planning ship fit videos and ship battle videos and much more with about 13 other content creators. I've got to star in a couple of these videos so far. I'll post the links to the other creators' YouTube channels to where you can see these videos if you haven't seen them yet. Elementary's got so much planned, he barely sleeps. Hats off to you. Speaking of content creators, I have the first audio short story edited for upload soon, where P.A.B. Arianis reads his first EVE Echoes short story, History's Shadow. Keep an eye out for that soon. Alright, on to the news. Because I was delayed with some of the news headlines and changes to the game, you're probably already aware of some of the changes. Like that horrid blue text for the Alliance chat. I just don't like that. But the biggest story to happen in New Eden was the Great Battle of ZID. Now, this battle broke records, making it the largest fight to happen in the game, with local cap maxed out at 1,500. The server at times was slowed down 5 times to 6 times normal speed, making everything painfully slow. This battle was for a citadel to be destroyed, but it continues to stand. ACR, GHA, and Void Alliances fend off attackers GenFed and Pantheon Alliances in a brutal 7-hour-long fight, with a main battle happening in ZID. There were multiple smaller battles happening in the surrounding star systems. Genesis Fleet took an estimated $300 billion in losses from the engagement. After the fight, pilots went home and took their good fights to Reddit. With that being said, I got to speak with three FCs in the GHA fleet about this fight. Let's check it out. Today, I am with three FCs of the Golden Horde Alliance, whom were at the ZID battle. Welcome, guys. I got Polobot, Drag, and Shack Attack. What's up, guys?
Hello.
How's it going?
Hello, guys.
Feeling good. So, I bet you guys are too, with a huge win coming out of ZID at this time yesterday. This battle happened yesterday. It was the largest battle, by, you know, on record, the largest battle in Eve Echo's history so far. 1,500 people were in system, with about 1,100 people at the Citadel where that battle took place. So, Dre, if you wanted to start, you know, tell us a little bit about how you guys prepared for this fight. Granted, you guys just represent the GHA, but also Void, Blood Horde, other allies were also there too. So this, you know, this is solely just coming from your guys' perception. So yeah, tell us a little bit about the what you did to prepare for this fight.
Yeah, this is Drake, by the way. So we knew it was going to be a big battle. We knew that from the previous weekend where we had to give up the armor timer for ZID. So even from last Sunday, we started formulating a plan of what we needed to do. And the first one was taking cues from the last previous fight where ACR at the time, or F1, dominated that ZID Corporation Station explosion, where they just held the grid for, I think it was like 6 hours before the timer. They were just on grid. So I assumed that GenFed and their allies were going to do something similar, because it's the, to me, it's the only way to win when you're the aggressor, is to hold grid well before the timer to stop the defensive fleet forming up, to form up a good defense. So from last Sunday, we got together as a leadership in the military and said, right, well, what do we need to do to be on grid for 11 a.m. UTC, giving us 3 hours before the timer? And hopefully at that point, GenFed and allies would not be on grid. Or if they were, then we would have 3 hours to formulate a plan there and then. But the best thing we did from that perspective was we immediately said, we have to be on grid at 11 a.m. or 10:45, I made it, with our ships already there, which meant that we had to then get our ships to ZID before Saturday. For my time, it was Saturday morning. So we said, right, well, let's do moves the day before and just have ships there, and then people could fly down on the morning if they wanted to, or the night before in interceptors or pods. Now, we were going to start on the Friday, but I think by Wednesday afternoon, we realized that there could be potentially gate camps for 48 hours, up to 48 hours before that. So we started our first move, I think if Shaq corrects me, it was Wednesday evening UTC time.
And yeah,
it was Wednesday. So we moved, was it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday evening? And we had several different moves throughout the day to cover different time zones for the different player bases. So by the Friday morning, people had at least one ship in ZID ready to go, if not four or five, six ships. I think Blood Horde had at least five ships each there, potentially, because they were going to take a very offensive front for Golden Horde. And they did a fantastic job. So from the planning side of it, we were well organized. We knew what we wanted to do, which was get as many ships into the ZID station, because it didn't matter to us if that station blew up and all of our ships got moved afterwards. But we knew that we needed ships and to be able to reship. So yeah, it was all about the moves. And shockingly, We for the fleets that I was I did two moves myself. We never met the gate camp. So we moved in there easily. So we had no problems. So that was the larger plan. It was just to be on grid, on time, and not have a rushed. The last thing I wanted for Golden Horde was to have a rushed form up on the Saturday morning and then be late on grid, or not get on grid at all, which is what happened the Sunday before. So it was just a lot of pre-planning, pre-moving, and then making sure everyone had set ZID as their station so that they could pod themselves there for the Saturday morning if they didn't have an interceptor to fly there.
So about how many Golden Horde pilots were there?
So on grid Saturday morning, Golden Horde, which is all of our alliances under the Horde umbrella, we fielded just over 300 combat pilots. And I say combat pilots because we did not field any pods, like Gen Fed and Allies are suggesting was on grid. We had 300, just over 300 combat pilots on grid fighting.
I had three ships. I didn't have to use them all.
Stop lying, Drake. Everyone knows we had pods with large cannons fitted. Only reason we took out those battleships.
Yeah.
And newts.
I did see a kill mail from an attack pod. So the truth's got to come out.
100%. It was a pod army. Yeah. Trust me. I wouldn't lie to you. We were flying just pods and we still trashed them. If they want to go with that narrative, I'm happy with it.
The three moves we did during the week was only by pods. We just kept on carrying hundreds of pods during the week.
That was the only thing that made me laugh was about the whole pod issue. Was saying about all the people coming in pods the night before. It's like, yeah, because we had our ships there already, so we had to arrive. And what's the point of going in anything but a pod unless you've got an interceptor?
Right.
So anyway, right. So yeah. Golden Horde, which is to say all of our alliances under the Horde umbrella, we fielded just over 300, which actually blew my mind as one of the leaders of the military. It was an amazing showing for us.
So tell us a little bit about how the battle happened, or not happened, but how it went, you know, the duration, the tactics, you know, what did GHA obviously had more of a defensive tactic, right? And then obviously GenFed was coming in trying to get to the Citadel. You know, what happened?
So overall, we had quite a simplistic tactic with our coalition forces, because in the past, when you're working with so many alliances and FCs flying together, it can be quite hard to maintain unity in all of what you're doing. So we basically really tried to simplify how we were doing things, which frankly paid off an absolute treat. So we had ACR who were quite set on the fact that they wanted to, at the start of it, have a Yeet fleet or a suicide squad, that they just wanted to throw at GenFed for the lulz at the start, maybe take out a high value asset, which I think when they did that, they might have got a Vindicator, if I'm not correct. And then we also had the Bloodhorde guys from GHA, who are literally the PvP denizens of the Golden Horde, who live, breathe, and eat PvP. And they decided that we're not going to quite go and yeet them as aggressively as ACR, but we're definitely going to go out with some suicide fleets and grab them at gates and engage them prior. Which they did fantastically. I think part of what maybe gave GenFed the confidence to kind of jump in and go as ham as they did at the station was their success against the Bloodhorde fleet at the gate, which I think they may have potentially thought was actually something significant beyond actually just a fleet that was designed to get blown up. And then it was quite interesting, really, because once the battle was going, it looked like it was going to take a bloody long while, but it looked like it was slowly going to them. They were getting damage application on. They had five nightmares, so there was no way our snipers were ever breaking their shields. We were relegated to, you know, picking off what we could through disconnects and so on, because they hadn't applied the correct strategies to stop your ships warping off when you log off. And all of a sudden, at some point in the battle, they have this great change of mind and decide that they're going to do a headlong charge into our fleet to, from what Intel suggested, to break our logistics and our nightmare. Which again, I thought was rather foolish when they had five nightmares, so there was no way we were breaking them from a distance. but yet they came in and did a last-ditch, desperate attempt to kind of knock out our logistics and our nightmare, which just turned into a mass rout, at which point it was just picking off battleship by battleship as they're all trying to get the fuck out of Dodge, which was absolutely hilarious and really entertaining to watch. Like, battleships make good explosions in the game, even on low graphics. I like that. And then we had Polobot just micromanaging and running all of the like close range defense. So Polo was with Manav, was basically controlling all the cruiser fleets, which were predominantly, if able, VNIs and CNIs, that because we knew they were coming drone heavy, we wanted to neutralize that. But as Dre touched before, I think it's worth noting, I found it hilarious that GenFed decided that, so they've had a battle a couple of weeks ago, I think, where they were had more numbers, they bought a drone boat army, and they got absolutely screwed over because of tie-dye and drones. So they've just come to what's going to be the biggest battle in EVE. And what have they gone heavy on again? Drones, which don't work properly with tie-dye. Like, it's a pain in the ass to get them to activate properly. And yet, they're still turning up and doing it.
To add about the battle, I think we had a way superior tactic and strategy on the FC side. No matter what fleet composition was coming to us, we had better intel, we had better FCs on grid, and we had what I think wins this battle was one, Blood Horde, of course. They did just an amazing job at mowing them down at the grid and make them lose time for the objective. And one other thing that made us win this battle was the logi chain. We have some very, very, very good master logistics in Golden Horde. Plurk, Halen, Duroka, I mean, perhaps everyone who's running logis on a regular basis knows what they're doing. And we were able to red people outside of the bubble just by eyesight. That is just crazy.
Yeah, I do want to give a shout out there to Duroka. Duroka's call on those people outside the bubble was just on point, and keeping those pilots alive for really 3, 4, 5 times as long as they should, which gave us 3, 4, 5 times more time to kill them, which was just huge. The fact that Plurk just, I don't know, survived, I know, was it like 5? It felt like 10 minutes. It just felt an age that he just stayed alive while the enemy fleet just carried on primarying, but we kept him alive. And that was purely down to Droga's calling and seeing that he was being targeted. And then, the Logi chain, our Logi is just ridiculous.
So is that the story?
Across the board, we had the Logi, all of the deputy squad commanders, like the FCs that are helping. So from my understanding, some fleets like Demfled, it's literally your fleet is run by a pure... He's running absolutely everything. But no, with this, we had literally about a team of 10 to 20 FCs that were supporting within the three fleets and basically making sure just all the commands were being repetitively going out for disconnect. So we weren't having any of those fucking issues that come when the game goes to shit. Like, through the support of the up to 20 FCs that I had with me, The anchoring was shit hot. The target calling, like, if I was ever lagging out or struggling to find a target, Drake was in there fucking throwing the next one out. Like, overall, I think part of it was just we were extremely well drilled in all of the bits we actually did. And the comms behavior as well was fantastic, especially considering the fact we were talking about having about 250 in the UK the English speaking comms.
Yes, we had Zenhorde with us. We had GHA is always a multi international horde, so we always have to deal with translation.
So real quick, I wanted to get back to Plurk. I seen a Reddit post about Plurk being the hero. So is there any more info on that?
He really was.
He took DPS. for about 15 minutes for the whole fight.
Wow. He took so much DPS that Awaji was complaining to him, saying, I got four large reppers on you times all of our Awaji, just keeping him alive. But it meant that they were wasting DPS. And I have also seen the post saying, well, look, it took me 5 minutes to do one salvo on Plurk. That's how he survived. But it doesn't matter that in that time we killed, like, I don't know, five. I think at that point, as soon as I first heard Plurk say and call for Veps, we killed three or four battleships and about three Logi. And that was the difference.
Exactly. Wow. We had one or two Harbinger logistic. They had four or five, and we mowed them all their logistic while they were targeting only one of ours. So basically, that's drill again. That's FC calls. Mm-hmm. That's rep calls. And you need to be drilled. You need to be prepared for those types of battles, because once you get targeted, you have a few seconds to make those calls, or else you're already in a pod.
So Shack Attack, you, from what I've taken out of it, you were making the primary calls, or who was making the primary calls and who was dishing out the command?
So I had command of the fleet, but as I say, when I run a fleet, I would rather have people support me and make a full functioning thing rather than just be a one-man show about my ego. So for example, obviously, Polo Bot with the cruiser fleet was mostly tasked with taking down anything that came close and drones. So, for example, Kylo Ren turns up, Polo Bot gets rid of him. Not a fucking problem. In fact, I completely agree with that decision. At the same point, I had others in my fleet, like Drake, who, you know, if I was ever struggling to find something or there's any problems, I was quite happy for people to call out some targets for me, as long as there wasn't already a listing going. But yeah, it was a very interesting show. But at the same point, we all worked quite well together without any toe-sapping.
Yeah, and on the other side, Drake said during the battle, it's normal because with this lag, if you only have one people calling, sometimes the target dies or the target just warps away and you have 300 people not shooting at anybody. And that's what we got on the enemy side. They were very quiet, and so we were calling targets. Drake said we have to keep DPS on 100% of the time, so calling targets for everything that's in range when we don't have a BS that's targeted already, trying to call everything that's in range so we can mow them down and keep the DPS on is very important.
So talk a little bit about how you guys dealt with the lag, the server lag, at times, at peak. I did see a 6x slowdown, 6 times server slowdown. How did that affect the battle?
We've already explained it, which is we have a multi-layered chain of command. So if any one of us goes down, has a disconnect, has a lag spike, we're always talking, and there's no ego. So it's not like, oh, our FC's gone. It's like, no, we've got multiple calling. It's not an issue for us, because if I disconnect or if Shaq disconnects, Polo disconnects, we've still got 6 other people in line that can take over and knows the plan.
And on the personal side, exactly. I only suffer one disconnect.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it's an interesting one, because I've heard Jim moaning a lot about the lag. You know what? Compared to prior experiences with lag in Battlefield, it really wasn't anything bad. I had one crash disconnect at the start when we literally hit server cap, but that was dealt with in like 1 or 2 minutes. And okay, there's a pain in the ass with your focus firing to activate your weapons, get them to apply damage properly. And sure, yeah, I can understand how Gen 10 might find that frustrating with their drones cycle as quickly as they do. But again, that's their fault for bringing kit to a fight that they're going to encounter problems they already know exists. It's just piss poor planning. We knew that. One of the benefits to cannons, they have slow cycle time. So therefore, you can a lot more effectively manage that compared to a drone. But they definitely made progress with Ivecos and how it's dealing with lag. There's still room to go, but I don't think in any way it was game breaking or overly problematic. It was just a pain because it went so slow at points.
200% agree with you. So, there is room for improvement, but it's already better. I've been in a lot of large scale battle, and this one was the smoothest one. The easiest, we'll say, but still, if you we are on the same turf, so if you complain about the rain while you're playing rugby or the field while we're playing rugby, as long as we have the same field where we fight, there is no excuse.
Yeah, I think the reality is some of the FCs probably want to make up for bad calls. Because let's be honest, when they were sat off putting DPS on the station, it was going fucking slow because of the tie-dye being at like 6x. But it was taking damage. Their fleet wasn't losing big numbers. In fact, it looked like if they just kept doing what they were going to do, they would have taken down the Citadel. Would have been an extremely boring, long fight, but they would have. Instead, they decided to yeet their smaller fleet, which, okay, granted, was a brawler fleet. Again, though, they're running drones, so heavily handicapped. They decided to yeet it into a fleet that was like 3-4 times the size at the point, foregoing all the benefit of their 5 nightmares. And actually, I don't care how good people think brawler ships are, they don't beat other ships in a 1-5 ratio. It just doesn't happen. They basically gave up the tactical advantage and threw away what would have been a slow destruction of the Citadel. We'd have probably fucked them when they tried to escape the system, but they could have at least taken the Citadel. And it seems to me like they got impatient and basically went, yeah, I'm having that. I'm just going to rush in. And that was the point where it just went to shit for them. And from there, it was just like, you know, when the heavens fucking up and the raindrops fall, but the raindrops were their battleships going bang.
And they started to make a lot of bad decisions after we start podding the first 2 or 3 FCs that were on grid. So, and another key part.
Well, from what I've heard intel-wise is the reason that we ended up on a basically zero brawl was because the GenFed FC disconnected and the Deputy FC decided to do a push. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I've heard intel-wise.
Yeah, and that's why, for example, you get everyone on your team to know what it is. So like, before we did this fight, we got all the FCs that were available pre-fight and went over the game plan so that everyone was on the same page. And then actually, even during the fight, we still reiterated points to make sure everyone knew what they were going to be doing if someone disconnected. Is that whole what Jake's talking about, having a line of chain of command where actually there's trust, but there's also an implicit plan laid out.
That is all good stuff. So talk a little bit about the length of the battle.
The length? Jesus Christ, too long. My missus, seriously, she was grumpy as fuck after what was meant to be like 4 hours, maybe 5 at a push, turned into 7.
Did you tell her you made history?
Really? Because, well, I understand you're getting that's a Wi-Fi grow, but it felt like it lasted minutes to me.
I know.
I was going to say, it's kind of because, like, that whole period up to them actually engaging, yeah, we were just laughing our asses off at GenFed bitching and moaning our system about how they can't get in because there's a pop cap, and they hadn't even tried to fucking push the pop cap. So that they're literally going, we can't get in, log off your pods, that, to be clear, didn't exist. And the reality is they'd never even checked if they could get their ships into the fucking system. And then when they do, oh, look, actually the cap's higher than what they thought, and it goes up to 1,500, and they get nearly everyone in. And after losing their ships to the Blood Horde at the gate, they managed to get everyone in. But we spent so long just laughing our asses off at their bitching, their local. And then once the fight was going, I think because we were so effective in like picking targets and taking them down, it was just very fast paced, as slow as it was, because, you know, even with it being slowed down, we're alphaing with such large fleets. When we pick that target, it's gone. It's like, disappear, except for some of them. So once it was going, it felt a lot quicker. And I think there's a lot of laughs in the lead up to it that probably also made time go quite quickly.
Yeah, the fight went quickly. It's just when I realized, when I just look at the clock after the fight, when we were going back to 995, like, damn, it took just the whole day. And some of you guys from the US, I'm from Europe, and some of you guys from the US woke up like at 3:35 in the morning. So, wow, you'd show up.
Yeah, that's how I was when I knew it was going to be a big fight there. So I flew there and left my tablet online all night in system. So I knew that there'd be a cap. So I went into a dead space and just stayed there. And then by the time I woke up, so I woke up at 6 a.m. and I was already 3 hours late.
Was in front of time.
Yeah.
And that goes to the point that I made at the beginning, which was we took the grid at 10:45 a.m. and we had, I don't know, I think it was like 50 people in local at that point. Mm-hmm. So Gen Fed complaining that we capped the system is they had the time to be able to come in and well before the cap was ever reached.
So here's
the 400 first people on grid were blues and they were way closer than us. We live 45 jumps away.
So a little something about that is the original cap for ZID, I believe, was 1200. So that's where it stayed for quite a while. I want to say for probably 3 or 4 hours, the cap. Well, maybe not even that long, but the cap was 1200. And the reason why GenFed had stayed back was because they were getting confirmation on the reinforcement on the back end, on the server end of ZID for them to jump. So once they got confirmation that, yes, the cap was raised, yes, the game knows that there's going to be a big battle there, that was when they decided to jump in.
No.
But let's be clear, they did not jump in. They did not. I know they'll say, well, we couldn't, but the cap never reached 200 at any point until they got confirmation that it was 1500. So they could have jumped in when the cap. It was a about a half hour period where we were at 900 for a very long time. So they could have jumped in for and got 200 people on grid and then tested to see if it was higher. Because we had a very long period where one of our allies was late arriving. And it was only when GenFed arrived on the other side of the gate that our allies also arrived at the same time. And then that bumped up the pop cap to 1100. So there was like an hour period where there was 300 spaces in that system. If the cap was 1200, well, with it being 1500, they had the room an hour, about a half hour to 45 minutes before. I just don't buy this.
It would have also been there before our actual nightmare we were anchoring on was there.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not correct in that, in my recollection there, which is hilarious. So again, they could have come into system with 200, 300 baller ships while our nightmare, our one and only, wasn't on grid. So they'll come up with excuses and stuff, but do you know what? Where were their scouts? There was at least room for one of them in the fucking system. They should have had these answers. They had people in system. Like, it's not like they couldn't have got the intel if they wanted it.
Yeah, so talk about the battleships. How many battleships did GenFed bring?
I think it was over 70.
75?
Yeah, I think it was 75. And we had, I think, 13?
No, a bit more. Yeah. At the end of the battle, we had a bit more.
Okay.
And how many went home?
I don't know how many went home, but if I'm correct on the Coalition estimates, what I've heard is that it was about 300 billion ISK they lost, including, yeah, I think it's four nightmares, a rat, two rat snakes.
Five nightmares.
Five nightmares, two rattlesnakes, Falgorn, I think that was it. Oh, and the Vindicator before the fight even started on the way. They lost.
Yeah.
But
hilarious because they did a big discount deal for all their pilots to get a battleship at 50% cost. I bet you those guys are so happy with their purchases.
Wow.
No, it's they brought also, it's not only battleships, they brought also 130 battle cruisers. So they had a beefy fleet between GenFed and Pantheon. They had a real beefy fleet. Once again, it's how you maneuver it, how you use it, how you have discipline and stuff like that. No matter what ship you bring, you have to have good communication with your team.
So I was there for about 3 hours, and when I got there, it was already about 1,200, and then I warped to the gate, and I actually watched them jump in, and I was watching the local chat, and people are saying, hey, they're jumping in. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the station, and I spectated that flight basically for 3 hours, and the amount of people there next to the station, like I said earlier, there was about 1,000 to 1,100 people on the station within 100 km. That's just insane. The you know, if you spectate any of the ships and you just see the population around them, it's just like, what is this? It's a giant ball.
Yeah, oh, you're great to everybody. It must be hella scary.
You know, I'm sending screenshots to, you know, in Discords, and like, holy smokes, look at this ball, right? Look at all the blues, look at all the reds. And it was next to the sun, so everybody was nice and hot. So, yeah, it was
the fact that when you looked at it, they looked almost like solid spheres of shit.
Yeah.
Before the brawl, it was great before the brawl, and then the brawl was just that was great too.
That was great. Brawling was so cool, and when you start to see the battleship, the red battleship starting to flee, starting to go at the top, you know that you're starting to win the battle, and you know you just have to catch all the juicy targets. That moment when everybody gets bloodthirsty.
Oh yeah, we had some absolute legend tackle on those nightmares as they started fleeing, especially the last one on grid. You know, like 60 kilometers away, we're like, right, get on it.
Yeah, we were mowing down like target at zero, and it was this last nightmare way on top trying to flee. He was tackled for 3 minutes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry for their battleship pilots, because it very quickly turned into a mass rout. And yeah, we very quickly decided, right, we're going to make sure none of those get away, and just started vaporizing them one by one, which just
it was going to be a wipe one way or another.
Yeah, that's what it looked like from the spectator view was a Royal Rumble with 1,100 pilots there.
It really was. It was. One side was going to leave with basically a fraction of what they came with. There was going to be no way about it. And we made sure that they left with no faction ships.
And no CEOs.
Yeah, the SRP suck. I would not be envious of sorting out that SRP problem.
Their ISK wallet is going to definitely be lower, if not their real wallets.
Yeah, what wallet? It's empty now.
So after the battle, how'd after the battle go? Numbers, you know, kills, losses, what you've reported. Now you probably have access to like the coalition numbers. Those are numbers that I don't know. You know, and did you guys celebrate? Did you guys? I know you guys felt good. Talking with you, trying to negotiate a interview today. I know you guys were feeling really good yesterday. So, you know, how is it after the battle?
I think after the battle, obviously, we were all in hysterics at how it turned so quickly in our favor and into an absolute bloodbath, which, as everyone who plays Eve knows, there's nothing better than being in a bloodbath on the winning side. So I think we were all very fucking high on that. But I think straight afterwards, the first thing we kind of prioritized was, right, let's get everyone in our main battlecruisers back to 995. It's like 20 fucking jumps to get there. And we were just flying back, laughing about the highlights and the bits that each of us had missed that was going on. Like Tim snagging a load of kill males on like battleships and a rattlesnake.
Yeah, with 0%, less blow.
Yeah, and that's what shocked me. The two rattlesnakes were the most expensive ships killed yesterday.
Yeah,
they were both over 18 billion.
So one player, 17 billion. Yeah, one player snagged how much billions in kill males? Just one player.
Tim snagged 19 billion in total. He got the rattlesnake and a 1+ billion Dominix in our corp.
Wow.
Yeah, and I got a player from HTP who just recently joined who has the last blow on one of the nightmares. He has that forever in his account.
Nice. Yeah, no, I was quite happy. I finally got some actual kill marks on my tornado. Including a Tempest and some BNI. I'm sad the BNI isn't Kylo Ren's one, but at least he was taken out. What can I say?
Yeah, so how about that? The mission of Fleet 2, I was FC of Fleet 2, and Fleet 2 was getting all the drones and all the close range. And while I was hitting the drones, I saw a drone named Uni Kylo Ren. So, and I was having trouble targeting the drones. So at the end of the day, I said, why not shoot the ship that's carrying the drones? And it worked a lot better.
And we said bye-bye because we're just such big fans of him.
Oh yeah, we were talking shit a little bit earlier on Discord, so I just pressed fleet command, fleet focus, and write to him bye-bye on Discord.
Yeah, he was saying something about that in Reddit. I seen a Reddit post of his kill mail. 30 out of 34 pilots in that kill mail were our current GH pilots, you know, his fellow ex pilots.
Yep. Well, I think
a big part of that's just because he was always a pain in the ass. Not in like the fact that like, scary pain in the ass, but like when you try and maintain comm disciplines in local, you'd always have him singing fucking songs. Which is like, yeah, we're going to do well getting everyone else to behave when you're fucking doing that, aren't we? And then he's occasionally popped by to really poor attempts to try and troll us after the NSF split. If anything, he's just fucking annoying. So generally any excuse to get him out the system so we don't have to potentially listen to any songs is a silver lining.
he provides great content for the Horde. So that I'm thankful for.
Yeah, he is. The content of killing him is entertaining.
Well, it doesn't seem like he was very salty about it. He took it well.
No.
So tell us tell us a little bit of the numbers. I know it's about 24 hours after the battle now. What's on your side? What are some of the kills and loss numbers?
On my side, personally, absolutely zero kills and zero losses. I did absolutely nothing with my ship yesterday apart from anchor up on that nightmare because I was a Guardian pilot with small weapons. I did nothing. But from the Horde's perspective, we did about 170 billion damage and losses. I don't know, but I know my corp or the corp that I'm in lost one ship. We lost one Caracal Navy issue in Polobot's fleet, of course, like that the main fleet, no losses. Polobot lost us one of our Caracal Navy issues.
That's why Plurk is the hero of the battle. I think he's the only valuable death.
Wow. That's quite amazing.
So we lost in the last 24 hours, according to our kill mails, we lost 4 billion-esque.
Yeah, the ship that we lost, because GemFed is going to say that they killed 300 ships, were suicide waves that we throw at them, that Blood Horde throw at them, and the ACR throw at them to mow down their battleship. And it was a true success. So The only ship they managed to kill was the waves that we were sending at them on the grid to delay them, and it worked like a charm.
Yeah, to highlight that point, the Blood Horde, as you say, they had about 4 or 5 ships there, most of their pilots. They didn't plan on taking most of them back. They didn't want the effort. They just did the typical Blood Horde thing of, well, as you can tell in their name, they're a bit obsessed with causing bloodbaths. So they just took what opportunities they could. I don't think they would have been, I don't think they were too interested in waiting around for Genfed to turn up. They were more interested in just causing havoc the entire time, to which they did a masterful job. And I think part of what probably gave Genfed the confidence to come in so heavily at the end of the station was the success against the Blood Horde at the gate. But what they don't understand is, in reality, it was a success for the Blood Horde to do the damage they did with inferior forces that we never had intentions of winning.
And they reshipped and went on the grid. Job.
Yeah, exactly. Then they're in their fresh, better ship and on station. So it's like they trade. They would have been better off leaving the Blood Horde forces on grid and go straight to station.
Man, that just sounds like an experience. I you know, even after a small battle, you get high on adrenaline. How did it feel after a big battle, the biggest in the game so far?
There was definitely a whiskey and a smoke that followed shortly afterwards.
there was a celebratory pizza and a can of lemonade for myself. But that's the adrenaline. It felt like no time at all from getting on grid at, well, we got on grid at 10:30, most of the FCs, but it just felt like it was a blink of the eye. The only time it felt long was just before the battle started, when it looked like Genfed were not going to take the battle or the fight. That's when it's like, oh, but I've just wasted 4 hours being on grid for no reason whatsoever. But the actual battle, once it was all over, and like you say, we were riding high flying back home, kind of laughing at some people that got caught behind in some gate cams. It's like it was just jubilant and great fun. And this is what we play E for. This is what I play E for. It's the big battles. It's the fun. It's not the animosity or the trying to destroy anyone. It's the content. It's the fun. It's the fight. It's the GFs afterward.
Yeah. I'd just add on that. Like, as much as I find it funny some of Genfed's decisions throughout the day, at the end of the day, I'm really happy they took the fight. And actually agreed to join us in making some content. So again, I think there's mutual respect both ways. Like, as enemies, we're always going to josh and pull each other's legs and tease a bit. But at the end of the day, we're just all players here to have fun. And I think at the end of the day, from what I've seen on Reddit, that is what everyone had. I haven't seen many people just having a pure bitch and about how life's terrible. It's mostly been positive feedback.
Yeah, after that fight, Reddit exploded. Memes were flying everywhere.
That's because we have the best meme maker in all of EVE.
That's why we choose the English coalition. Yeah.
Because as the best content creator for memes, he's just a legend.
Yeah, a meme started on their Discord page. How'd they end up on Reddit?
The guy is popular with his memes.
I don't know actually who leaked them outside of the court.
Well, I can tell you who leaked it. It's your brother who leaked them.
Oh, at which point, yeah, says my dickhead brother River. He's leaked them. But that is, he's pushing the boat out, because the reality is generally we keep all our shit in-house because we're not there to kind of piss off and upset other people. We just like having a laugh. And it's an interesting way to tell the history of everything we've done as a corp. Like, it's a very entertaining way to look back over all the stupid shit we've done.
Yeah, but on this point, even if after a battle, there is like always this kind of PR thing in EVE after on Reddit, which is sometimes funny, sometimes annoying. From yesterday's battle, it's only good vibes and good messages. So GG to everyone who was on grid. There is no salt. It was only a very fun battle and fun content.
Yes, yeah. In fact, Kresge, please do it again. If you're listening, come give me more battleships. We will always accept them. Just do it.
Man, what a great show for content yesterday. Your players got content, Reddit got content, all the good vibes, all good content yesterday. That I think that was very much needed in the realm of Eve Echoes.
Yeah, because from me personally, I just got no room for toxicity at all in any aspect of the game or Discord, social media. I stay off social media as much as possible. Reddit is the only thing I do. I don't look at Facebook or anything like that. So I miss a lot of the toxicity, and for that, I really don't give a shit. But yeah, I think as we were flying back, the first thing I said to the fleet was, any posts on Reddit or anywhere have to be of a positive nature. If they're not positive, if they're not GFs or having a laugh, don't post it. There is no need for toxicity or being pissed off, because it's a game at the end of the day. Yeah, some of us take it very seriously, but it's still a game. You play the game to have fun. You play the game for escapism, to unwind, or to communicate with other people in the world. So what's the point of being toxic?
Yeah, and it's a beginning. It's a new game with a fragile community. So if you start to make it very hard to play for a lot of people, then it's just stupid. You're just going to end up playing alone.
Awesome, guys. Well, let's close this out. Start with you, Dreg. Any shout-outs or anything you want to say?
Yeah, thank you to every single pilot that came to that fight, both our alliance and all of our coalition partners. Just, it was a multi-day effort, and that meant that some people couldn't play because they didn't want to leave ZID for up to 48 hours before, and that's dedication. So yeah, every single pilot that was on grid, that put their ships on the line, just thank you for providing the content for us all.
Check.
Yeah, again, it's just a big thank you to everyone, but I think that also goes to our opponents for turning up, getting their fleets ready, bringing all the battleships. Also, I'm not going to reel off the list of all the FCs that helped, but just a big thank you to all the FCs who stepped up with the fight. You know who you are. You did a fantastic job, and because of that, we worked as a flawless team. So, again, I wouldn't have been able to do any of what I did if it wasn't for the support and teamwork of all the FCs, from Dragon, Polobot, and Manav, and all the others, from Zell, Scout. Yeah, lots of names, but thank you very much, everyone. It was a fantastic triumph to be a part of.
Polo, got any closing thoughts, shout-outs?
Yeah, thank you, everybody was on grid. It was nice to make history and to be on the winning side. Very nice. And thank you for everybody from the Horde, Blood Horde, Zen Horde, Golden Horde. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. You guys did amazing, and you did well all along the week.
All right, guys, take your victory, you know, savor it, and maybe next time, maybe the next battle of ZID will be even bigger. Thank you, guys, and thank you for taking your time for doing this interview and talking with me today.
No problem.
No worries.
No problem.
Thank you. Wow, what a great group that plays this game. It's exciting seeing these large battles get bigger and bigger as the game goes on. Well, that wraps it up for this week. If you like the show, please leave a review in Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate it. If you'd like to reach out to me to submit a corp ad or be a guest on the show, please join my Discord and say hey. I'll leave that link in the description. And if you want even more Eve Echoes news and deeper dive into New Eden, check out Echoes from the Front YouTube channel, where Damon Sell walks through game changes, soft maps, and much more. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Take care and fly safe. Oh, no.